Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
It's a simple question, Doctor. Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs?
Your chance to win the 8 o'clock hour prize, $25 to New Axiom. Just for listening, it's our 8 o'clock hour prize. Ryan always makes it very simple to win.
I like this little ambiance we got going music. On here. This is good. I did type in moon music. I want you to know that.
Okay, cool.
That's exactly what I typed in to get this. Intergalactic Journey 1 is the name of this track, if you'd like to look that up at home.
Is that available on iTunes?
I believe so.
Spotify?
Maybe.
Apple Music?
Possibly. Super simple to win, though. All you have to do is listen and dial. Be listening for this.
We landed on the moon!
When you hear that, be caller number...
5.
Caller number 5 to 913-576-7610, and I will hook you up with $25 to go try New Axiom Brewing. It's delicious.
So NASA tweeted this out this morning. Good morning. Ready to go to the moon, but first, breakfast. On this day 50 years ago, Apollo 11 astronauts Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, and Buzz Aldrin enjoyed a pre-launch meal.
Michael Collins, a caddy?
That's right.
On ESPN
yep.
now?
The funny caddy?
Funny caddy.
At NASA Kennedy, before suiting up for the mission, liftoff was 9:32 a.m. Eastern.
Till about a
half
hour.
Apollo 50th.
All right.
First comment on this tweet. You know what it is.
And this is from NASA?
Yes, from NASA.
First comment.
First comment from Mark. Mm-hmm. Planning the next fake moon landing, I see. The next one is eat poo, NASA.
Eat poo.
Oh. Right on the chute. Oh. Then, of course, a bunch of pictures of aliens.
Right.
Yeah.
So, right. Believe it or not, this is now the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11 and the moon landing.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Either happened in Burbank or
Bob
on the moon.
Bob was dumbfounded that it took him 4 days to get to the moon.
I was. I thought they just took off and landed. I mean, you got these rockets with all this fire coming out the backside. Get there faster.
Well, they have a layover and everything.
Oh, a layover. That's yeah. right. Especially going from Kansas City. There's no way there's a direct flight to the moon, right?
Correct.
Had to stop on, like, Mars first yeah. and hang out for yeah. a while, wait for yeah. the connecting rocket.
Yep. Yep.
It was in Atlanta. It's a layover in Atlanta.
There's Atlanta. That. Just don't arrive there.
No.
This isn't Star Trek or anything. Going to that little thing that beams you up.
Right. So it takes a while to get there. I didn't realize. So what do you do for 4 days on a rocket?
I didn't realize it took a while to get to the moon.
I didn't. I thought, you know, you just took off and you were there, right? Like how fast these things go. What do you do for four days on a rocket?
Science.
Is there a stewardess?
It's probably Mad Libs.
Yeah.
Science experiments. Yeah, you well, do the old...
The license plate
game. License plate game. Hey, there's yeah. a Russian one.
You do the old...
Quick, go faster. Beat him.
You do the old FaceTime with Houston and float around. And
yeah. You take that was the origins of FaceTime,
your
right?
packets yeah. of Tang and have them floating in the background. Right. You do all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Ooh, astronaut ice cream. Astronaut pot roast.
You invent Dippin' Dots.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things.
That's been the future of ice cream for 30 years now.
I mean, there really hasn't been a lot of innovations in the ice cream field.
I don't know.
There's a lot of stuff to get to while you're.
So what do you do for like 4 days? You're on this rocket. Like, are your ears popping?
Yes, they're chewing gum the whole time.
Do you shower? Like, what do you do? I mean, that's got to be a boring 4 days. Are you working? Or are you just
You're doing science.
You get the neck pillow.
You're doing science.
All right,
science stuff.
I guess. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be trapped on a rocket for 4 days.
Because it's taking all week to get to the moon, we will take all week and celebrate one giant leap involving various things in our sports sphere.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
So let's go with one giant leap involving the Royals. Give me something, Fesco, you think for them was one giant leap.
I think trading Will Myers was one giant leap because there was, at the time, he was the guy, right? He was the guy that you were going to build the franchise around. He was the star.
He was the prospect.
He was the prospect. Right? He was the guy.
The people that rate prospects.
Right. He was it, man. Said, that was the star. That was a can't miss. This was going to be the unbelievable prospect that's going to turn into the unbelievable player. And the Royals used him to get James Shields, Elliot Johnson, and Wade Davis back in return, obviously with Mike Montgomery being traded as well in that trade for the Kansas City Royals. So it's a homecoming of sorts for him as well. So I think for me, the one giant leap for the Royals was saying, you know what, we're willing to part with a prospect. And at that time, the Royals hadn't brought up many prospects to the big league level yet that it had achieved a lot of success. There were still a lot of people questioning, you know, Hosmer and Moose and a lot of these guys throughout the minor league system. Will Myers was the can't-miss guy. They said, we've got to trade something to get something. And they traded him and got arguably the best closer of the generation and a starting pitcher who changed the mindset and attitude inside that clubhouse and really had a lasting effect on the Royals and took them from being meh to being great, to being world champions. And to me, that was the giant leap, was trading Will Myers out of this organization because they got slayed for trading Will Myers.
Yes.
How could you trade this guy? Well, you know what happened? They went the two World Series and won another. So it worked out to be a giant leap that paid off,
and not
much
that,
like the moon landing.
Not that I didn't – I mean, I wanted Myers to have success. I didn't
want
– but
– who cares, right?
He's not been
– he's all right.
He's not been any great shakes. Certainly not the –
you wouldn't have won a World Series if you still had Will Myers on this team.
And the national pundits that were critical, it's not like he's a perennial all-star that you completely whiffed on, right?
No. And even if he is, so what? And he's on his next team, too. It wasn't like he stayed in Tampa forever. He got shipped to San Diego. And so for me, I look at it as we got a world championship. If he went on to be an all-star superstar, so what? We still got the world championship here in Kansas City. And that's what it's all about, winning and getting championships.
In 7 years, Will Myers, a career 250 hitter. He did win the Rookie of the Year, one-time All-Star. So,
so there you go.
I wasn't rooting against him to validate this trade by any means. But you look back at this deal and you're like, I mean, they told us he was, not they, the Royals, like the national people, that they said he was an automatic.
Mm-hmm.
He's been far from an automatic.
250 is not an automatic. Right?
I mean, even in his All-Star year, he was hitting .259. So,
yeah,
I feel like they got the better end of that one. Mine goes back a little bit further. My one giant leap for the Royals is the decision to trade Zach Greinke. I think we knew, and we tried to convey it at the time, that he wasn't pulling on the rope.
Right.
Right? He wasn't really excited to be part of a rebuild. Essentially, that hadn't been even built yet. But he was a reason to go to the ballpark. And we've seen the Royals, certainly in the last few years especially, be very aware of the fan base and what they want to see when they go to the ballpark, who they want to see when they go to the ballpark. And Greinke fits that mold, Bob, to a T.
Sure.
He was a reason to go to the ballpark, especially in 2009 when he had that fantastic season. Dipped off in 2010 before they eventually, you know, made that move, sending him to Milwaukee. But that was a guy that could have been, you could have easily made the argument, will be part of your future. I mean, the guy's still pitching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still pitching at a pretty good level.
He's borderline Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean, you could have made the case, keep him, even if he's maybe not exactly liking the circumstances, keep him. Build around him. You've got a front-of-the-line starter, build around him. But they didn't, and they made a move that turned out to be pretty good as well. A really, really giant leap They did have a little background, thanks to Ned and others, about some of the guys in that Milwaukee system. And certainly they were the core, part of the core of building this team when you're talking about Kane and Escobar and making that type of move. But at the time, that's a pretty giant leap. You're giving up a guy, as you mentioned now, borderline Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
For some prospects that ultimately ended up winning a World Series. But man, that's a pretty big leap to give up a guy of Greinke's ilk at that stage of his career.
And you won a World Series, and I don't think Greinke's been a world champion yet, right?
He's loaded up on All-Star games and stuff, but yeah, I mean, you're talking about Royals, Dodgers, Arizona, Milwaukee.
Yep.
No,
he has not been a world champion. He's been almost a Hall of Fame type of player, but I would still make that trade all over again because of that world championship.
Pretty giant leap.
Yep. Ryan, what do you got? Ryan?
Now Ryan for the totals.
Thanks, Ryan.
I feel like you guys took a lot off the plate, too, so I wasn't left with a lot. I had to kind of
piece together
something.
Day game after a night game, high sky.
So I thought about this, though, because, like, the Will Myers trade was unique. I know I did. I thought we were making a bold prediction for the future, not looking back in the past.
Oh, no. What was a giant leap, by the way?
Yeah, I know. I was very confused. Either way, like, trading Zach Greinke is something that we had gotten used to, right? Like, we gotten used to the idea that our best players were going to reach the end of their contracts, and then we were going to be a farm system for the Yankees or other big league or other big market clubs, and we would be just left in the dust. So I didn't think that was necessarily unique. You're right, Kling. It did turn out to be something much more special than we were used to. It's not like the Carlos Beltran trade that netted us John Buck and Mike Wood. Oh, and Mark Tian was a part of that as well. But I went with Royals trading for Cueto and Zobrist because it was the first time that I could remember, at least in my lifetime, that they made a big league-like big boy move, right? We'd always thought about when the Royals were on the doorstep, what would they do? Well, we found out in 2015 what they would do, and they actually made big league moves to move guys into town to make sure that you locked up that World Series. So I think that that was one of those moments where we realized as a fan base and as a team, hey, this is how you play big league baseball, making moves for guys like that and striking when you know you're within distance. So I think the trade for Cueto and even the trade for Zobrist was one giant leap forward for the Royals.
Other teams made those types of moves. Ours didn't.
Right? Yeah.
Was it the year before the Price trade? Was it the year before?
Yep, the David Price
trade. I freaked out that next day.
You went nuts.
Our team never does this stuff.
Right. I remember sitting at Uncle D's on August 1st, and that trade came down.
Yeah. I was not happy.
Or July 31st.
Our team never makes those types of
things.
Then they did.
Next year they did.
I think maybe even to go a little bit further, like the World Series parade that year. For us as fans, like, it was the first time I can remember that many people supporting the Royals. And I know it's easy to support a winner, but, like, the way that that went down, it was the first time in my life. And, again, you know, I haven't experienced a lot of championships in this city. But to be able to see that, and now granted, I was stuck in the studio working the show, so I was much appreciated. But just to be able to see the photos of that, see all of the, you know, hear all of the stories from that. Everybody has a story from the World Series parade day.
Right.
So I think that that was, for us as a fan base, too, one giant leap forward.
So what is your giant leap by the Royals? 69306. We'll take a look at some of those as well.
We'll leap giantly all week or something. They're shortchanging the boss. How so? Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Back in Tuesday edition of Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco, Ryan Witkowski, I'm Josh Kligler. It is a Ticket Tuesday coming up with Show and Vern today, 10 to 2. Each and every segment, they're giving away Royals tickets, Royals and Indians tickets on a Ticket Tuesday. So be listening to Show and Vern coming up at 10 o'clock. I think the boss got shortchanged. NFL.com has written a piece. Elliot Harrison, one of their analysts. The 2019 NFL head coach power rankings.
There you go.
Of course,
it's that time of year.
Who follows Bill Belichick? Much like the ESPN did the who's your best player under 25, not counting Mahomes.
Right.
They're doing the who's the best coach, not counting Belichick. So their power rankings of coaches is out, right?
Yeah.
Belichick number one. Followed by Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, Andy Reid at number four, Dougie P at number 5. Sean McVay at 6. John Harbaugh, 7. Anthony Lynn at number 8. Ahead of Mike Tomlin.
All you need to know about this list is Doug Peterson is ranked as the 5th best coach in the NFL.
And Mike Zimmer, number 10.
I believe that's Super Bowl champion Doug Peterson.
No, I understand that Mike Zimmer is the 10th best coach in the NFL. That tells you there's not a great gene pool of coaches.
Anthony Lynn ain't ahead of Mike Tomlin.
Right, ahead
I feel like Tomlin. Half the NFL has really good coaches, and the other half has guys who either you don't feel have done enough to warrant them being a head coach, or guys who are just kind of still trying to make a name for themselves.
I just think ultimately the NFL head coach is just there's about 5 really outstanding NFL head coaches.
You
6
also
maybe.
Believe that you could be an NFL head
exactly.
coach.
Exactly. When you look at this list of these people on this list who are NFL head coaches, I mean, Fred Kitchens. I mean, come on with some of these people that are coaching in the NFL right now. It's a joke.
Another upset. Adam Gase is only 25. Thought he'd be lower.
I think he hit, and then 26 is the Giants head
coach.
Right,
and then they have not ranked.
And then they haven't ranked the new guys. Right, yeah.
They haven't ranked the new guys,
that's why.
Frank Reich
has been a head coach for 1 year in the NFL, and he's the 12th best head coach on the list. He's been a head coach for 1 year in the NFL.
Good thing.
A pretty impressive turnaround.
How is John Gruden 15th?
I like a lot of, he's a veteran.
Bruce Arians 16th on this list.
That Kangol hat that got him that
Doug home. Marone, 18th. I mean,
it was in an AFC championship game, 2 years ago?
It's insane. The coaching pool of talent in the NFL is about as shallow as an evaporated puddle.
I still have not, I'm scanning through, did not see Bob's name, but he's trying. Do not have an argument with Andy Reid being number 4.
No, not the guys that he's behind at all. You can't put him ahead of Belichick. Pete Carroll's got Super Bowls. Sean Payton's got a Super Bowl. Andy Reid does not have that elusive Super Bowl championship.
I think we can acknowledge he's one of the best, and 4 I think is fine. I don't agree with the write-up here. Andy Reid helped the Chiefs get their first conference championship game, since 1993.
Correct.
Only their second since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970.
Doesn't seem like that, though, does it? It seems like there's been a lot more success than just that.
Yeah. Just don't ever look at Chiefs playoff history. It's very depressing. Doesn't feel like it's to the stature of what you believe your organization is. Okay, so that's the sentence, then comma, yet the quarterback received all of the credit.
No, he didn't.
I feel like Mahomes got a lot of credit for being good. I didn't think at the detriment of Andy Reid. Like, I never, ever felt like, hey, you know what? They got to the AFC Championship game despite Andy because they had Patrick Mahomes.
Right. You could say that maybe the Baltimore Raven game, Patrick Mahomes' athletic ability won that game because of that 4th-and-9 completion. Or maybe the game up in Denver, Josh, that you and I were at where he left-handed passed it, maybe won the game for them. But I don't think they would have lost those games because of Andy Reid or anything that he did.
The quarterback got all the credit for getting them to the AFC Championship.
I disagree.
Alex Smith got some of that, too.
Yeah, that is right.
I didn't think Andy was devoid of credit here. But anyway, somebody had to make the decision, though, to go with Patrick Mahomes in the first place, right? Despite Mahomes' obvious talent, took guts to start the sophomore quarterback and trade away Smith, who led the NFL in passer rating in 2017. The result was a top playoff seed for an ascending Kansas City team, which manhandled the Colts on its way to an overtime loss to the Patriots in the AFC title game. Speaking of, that was Reid's 6th trip to the penultimate game of the season, 2nd among active coaches to you-know-who.
Who?
That being Belichick. I never discounted Andy Reid's role in getting the AFC Championship game, and I certainly don't say they got there despite him because of the quarterback.
No.
I think Andy Reid deserves a whole bunch of credit for last season, and a whole bunch of credit for Patrick Mahomes and putting Mahomes in the right position, and a whole bunch of credit, obviously, for making the move to move on to Pat Mahomes. So don't shortchange Andy Reid, and I hope that, you know, there wasn't a place on this list that was discounted because he felt like the quarterback got all the credit. I didn't feel like the quarterback got all the credit, nor should have.
No, not at all. And I don't think anybody ever discounted Andy Reid. We talked about it all year long, how they work great together and how Andy Reid was great for Mahomes and Mahomes was great for Andy Reid. We talked about the Pat plays that Andy Reid has. Like, I just don't. That's just somebody who wrote that is just out of touch with what truly is going on. And that's what you get sometimes at the national level. You get folks that are out of touch and don't really know what's going on.
The quarterback got all the hype.
He got the hype, but man, Andy Reid was getting a lot of credit.
Andy Reid was not, and nor should be on the national level, anyway, nor should be shortchanged on credit.
No, not at all.
He gets a ton of credit.
And I don't think he has been shortchanged. Like, if you would have said to me, I think Andy Reid's getting shortchanged here, I would have said, by who?
By NFL.com, apparently. They felt like Patrick got all the credit. Don't shortchange Andy in this transaction. He was really good a season ago and is absolutely the reason why, again, the playoff history that was has been started to be rewritten by this group.
Yeah.
The Chiefs playoff history, very bad for a long stretch. It's being rewritten by Andy Reid. Right?
I mean, without Andy Reid, this team is not now a perennial winner, a place where people want to be. And I don't think Patrick Mahomes is as good without Andy Reid. I think they're the perfect complement for each other.
Big story coming up. We'll talk greatest moment and another not happy with Madden. We'll explain next.
Fesco in the morning.
Plenty to get to between now and 9 o'clock. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Feels like the perfect week to see Ryan and Scott and get yourself that remote start. It's 100-degree heat index all week long, so the time to cool
that
car with
nasty,
the remote start.
Huh? Yeah,
it's going to be hot. So we've got plenty to get to. We'll talk a greatest moments. A rite of summer with complaining involved, and a new thing people are stealing. Awesome.
This is insane.
We'll get to all that coming up between now and 9 o'clock. Time now for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
Brought to you by Spring Venture Group on Fesco in the Morning.
2 days, two trades. For the Royals.
Let's go for a three. They say things come in threes,
right?
That's right.
Let's just keep doing one a day. It'd be great. All the expendable parts, go ahead and move them on. The Royals did that with Homer Bailey.
Yep.
On Sunday. Yesterday, Martin Maldonado is traded to the Cubs.
Is he any relation to Candy, do we know?
I don't believe so.
Is Candy old enough to be his dad?
The Martini Man can.
Yeah.
The Candy Man can.
For left-hand pitcher Mike Montgomery. As Mike Montgomery returns to the Royals organization, who drafted him back in 2008, was then part of the 2012 trade that brought James Shields and Wade Davis to Kansas City. 20 appearances out of the Cubs pen this year with a 5.67 ERA. Not great in terms of ERA. Wants to have a chance to start. He's going to have a chance to start as the Royals will put him into Bailey's spot in the rotation, and he's going to pitch on Friday. Dayton Moore on the trade and acquiring Montgomery.
He clearly wants to start. We have an opportunity to start, as you guys know, with the trade that we made for Homer Bailey. And, you know, Monty's kind of been used in a very versatile role over there. He started, he's pitched in the middle, he pitched situational, and it's just a good opportunity to get him back and you know, put him in the rotation and potentially 2 years of control for us. And so the money pretty much is a swap. So that's not it's just good baseball deal.
I think it is too. You got a Martin Maldonado who you only signed because Salvador Perez got hurt. You're only carrying him through the end of the year knowing you're going to get Salvador Perez back.
Right.
He's really a defensive catcher with not much of a bat. He is what he is.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Also
absolutely.
Not the son of Candy Maldonado.
Which no. Is a valuable component to a team that's contending.
Why did it take me that long to look that up?
Wilson Contreras also going on the injured list, apparently, for the Cubs.
They'll probably fill in,
whatever. Perfect move for them. But you're only going to have him through the tail end of the year. And you flip him for a guy, one, you're familiar with.
Sure. One, you drafted.
Two, you really liked at the draft when he was drafted because you actually drafted him. I always loved we really liked him coming out of the draft.
Right. The Royals did like him coming out of the draft. They drafted him. Yeah.
There's no debate on this one. They liked him.
He was a sandwich pick.
They picked him. And three, he's got, as Dayton Moore mentioned, some future control. So he wants to be a starter. Right, but if he's not a starter, you've seen him be a reliever.
That's right.
So you give them a shot, that full opportunity to start. They're going to need bullpen arms too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly do currently. So to me, it's the perfect type move. You spun a guy that you're not going to have any use for at the end of the season for a guy that's got some upside for you in your rotation or possibly bullpen.
Yeah, do you think that Martin Maldonado will wear his tie in his first game?
No, I
as a
Cub,
you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
That's a fair point, though, Ryan. You always want to show up to your first day of work looking your best, and if it means wearing a tie, then I guess you've got to do that.
Dressed for his next job.
That's right, which is front office.
Apparently,
right?
It was the Cubs.
You know what I really like about
by
this?
By the way, Martin Maldonado, 32, Candy, 58. So he's.
Could have been his dad.
Yeah. Maybe it's his uncle. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
But I think ultimately this is a good move for the Royals. I think they got better as an organization. You've got a guy that could be a swing guy in a couple of years for you. He's under team control. And you're going to need somebody to start next year for this organization because you're not going to have a lot of these superstars from the minor leagues that are pitching so well up here at the big league level next season. So you're going to need somebody to fill a spot in your rotation. Might as well take a guy that was a compensatory sandwich guy, you know, back in 2008, a guy that you're familiar with, a guy that's had success in Major League Baseball, a guy that was on the mound for the last out of the World Series for the Chicago Cubs. And so you've got yourself a nice player here. I think the Royals got better, and they've used Homer Bailey and Martin Maldonado in the exact way that you want to use them. Once you realize, hey, we're not going to win a championship this year, use those guys to make your organization better. And the Royals have used those guys to make their organization. They got an athlete with speed for Homer Bailey, and then they went out and got a guy that can be in their starting rotation for the next couple of years for Martin Maldonado. That's a win for the Kansas City Royals.
Mike Montgomery on the trade.
You know, I'm excited for the new opportunity. And, you know, from a baseball perspective, you know, I'm feeling like I can bring a lot to that team. And, you know, I know that they got a good group of guys over there. So, definitely excited to go, you know, over there. And, you know, it's going to be tough leaving here. And I told, you know, some of the guys that I saw, I wish them the best. You know, I think this team has what it takes to make it to the World Series and to win it all. And, you know, so I'll be watching and you know, keeping tabs on these guys.
Yeah. So Montgomery does leave a first place team to now join the Royals, but he's going to get an opportunity to start. And again, the Royals have, he's under contract, so the Royals have some control 2.5 more years.
Which is great, yeah.
Which is really good. Find out exactly what you have the remainder of the season, if he's a guy that can fill a starting void, or, again, you could always move him back to the bullpen, right?
Yep.
So, nice move by the Royals. And, again, 2 and 2 days, we'll see what today brings. Big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group, company who is reimagining the relationship between sales, data, and technology. Find out more at springventuregroup.com.
It's been over 50 years and 8 minutes now since the moon landing rocket ship took off.
They're done with breakfast.
Yep.
And they've now launched.
They ate their powdered eggs and
Tang. They definitely had Tang.
Oh, they tanged.
When's the last time you tanged?
Do they even still sell Tang? I think so.
Yes. Every time we ask that question, the answer is yes. You can always find stuff.
Yeah, Tang.
They definitely sell Tang.
The one thing that they don't sell enough
Love
of anymore, which I think is very retro, Five Alive. Remember that juice? The Five Alive juice?
So, Do you remember, and I wish they still made, comes back to Five Alive and Dunkaroos with you.
Have I mentioned Five Alive before?
Yes,
you have.
Numerous times.
Because it's things I remember. I didn't get much as a child. I was very deprived. We were very
Five Alive and Dunkaroos.
Was Five Alive actually juice, or was it
juice product?
Okay.
We were very poor as a child. My sister and I had to split a hot dog for dinner every night and half a cup of grape soda. So when Five Alive and Dunkaroos showed up at the house,
that doesn't feel right.
My dad had a good week at work.
Did you and your sister like Lady and the Tramp that hot dog?
No, my mother would cut it.
Oh.
Yeah, split it up. And no
ketchup.
I didn't
know if you were so poor you only had one plate.
We were not allowed to use ketchup unless my grandmother had stolen it the previous day from McDonald's.
What?
But she would go to McDonald's, swipe the ketchup, so we would have ketchup.
So you weren't allowed to use other ketchups?
No, only the fancy ketchup packets from McDonald's. We didn't buy ketchup. Why would you buy ketchup when your grandmother can steal it at McDonald's?
So it wasn't the fact that you weren't allowed to use it. It was the fact that you just never had it.
Right. We would not purchase this stuff. We never purchased napkins
or straws.
It's
like me and HBO. I never had it.
Right. We used to watch through the static.
Still was allowed to watch the new
game. Well, if the ketchup was there, if grandma had gone to McDonald's that week and there was some fancy ketchup lying around, boom.
There was like a week-long period, I think I was like 12, that we got Cinemax, and there were things that were awakened.
When I became an adult, I realized that sugar packets just didn't appear at your house. You actually had to go out and purchase them if you wanted sugar packets, because my grandmother used to just swipe sugar packets.
People buy packets of sugar?
Yeah, you can buy them at Costco, like 1,000 packets of sugar, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. So you have it like measured out, like sweet and low or something like that, you know, equal. Huh. How old do you get your equal? God, sometimes you don't think before you talk.
Speaking of stuff people steal, we'll talk about that coming up in about 10 minutes.
They absolutely sell the big tub of equal.
Why buy that when you can steal it from the table?
That's what I'm saying.
The Chiefs are opening up voting for what they're calling the Greatest Moments Contest. It's in honor of the 60th season of the Chiefs, of Chiefs football.
It's a veritable who's who on this list.
It really is.
Now, the top four moments they say to vote on
in Chiefs history
focus on the major milestones in the early years of the franchise and the American Football League. So they're not saying these are the top four moments in Chiefs history. These are the early moments in the Chiefs franchise.
Okay.
Okay. 65 toss power trap.
Sure.
The play
was
called up in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Lamar Hunt coins Super Bowl.
Mm.
Coins the term, right? Lamar Hunt founds the AFL.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Garrett's run to guarantee the Chiefs a trip to Super Bowl I.
Where was the move the Chiefs to Kansas City on that list?
That might have been number one, right?
It
was a pretty good moment.
Transition
the franchise.
From
the Dallas Texans to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs
kind of a big moment that
thought
was
it
left
would be
off
interesting
the list.
That they didn't put, like, you know, them moving to Arrowhead Stadium out of Memorial Stadium.
Municipal,
that's the one.
Or the building of Arrowhead or the opening of Arrowhead, maybe. But where is the, I don't know, moving the franchise to Kansas City, which has turned into one of the best markets in the National Football League and essentially saved your franchise? Because if that franchise stayed in Dallas, it would have been edged out by the Cowboys and no way it would have ever survived down there. And then you move that team to Kansas City and Kansas City creates this atmosphere that is second to none in the National Football League. And it's where everybody wants to be on game day in the NFL. And that doesn't make the list. How is that not on the list?
I'll say post move, man. Then.
Maybe they could say that.
Yeah. The 60th season of Chiefs football, not Texans football.
Okay. Right. I still would have said moving the team to Kansas City was.
I'm just going to assume post-move. Since being here, what are their top early moments?
Yeah.
And these are their top four early moments.
Okay.
Lamar Hunt coins the term Super Bowl. He founds the AFL.
But the AFL was founded before they moved here.
True.
Yeah. So that goes right in your face.
Okay, never mind. 65, toss power trap.
Yeah.
And a run, which
I don't really know about.
Nobody really knows about.
Mike Garrett ran for Super Bowl. Okay,
I don't have any idea about nothing.
Can't say that. I'll go with it. The run was amazing to get the Chiefs to Super Bowl I.
Okay, fine.
Is that cool?
Who saw that? Kling, what did it look like in black and white?
I did not see that. That predates me.
What are you saying about Rochester?
How did Grigsby call it that day?
Now I'm. We don't know. We're guessing maybe they'll do more of these as the season moves on.
Maybe.
You know, because they're focusing on the early portion of the franchise. But what has to happen and what's going to have a difficult time happening are getting enough of these that are on the field.
Yeah, on the field stuff. Because a lot of the stuff is off the field stuff. Right?
Or good.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Two of the early moments were involving the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
We haven't had that since.
None of that has happened since.
Nope.
The founding and the describing of what the matchup between the AFL and NFL should be called were among some of the early moments voted that are out there for vote by Chiefs fans.
If somebody were to ask you, mm-hmm. what's the greatest moment in Chiefs history? How do you answer that question?
It's tough because I haven't been alive for it.
Right? I mean, I guess you could say
none of us have been alive for it.
Winning that Super Bowl was maybe the greatest moment, but I mean, my God, that's 50 years
ago.
But
none of us were alive for it in this room.
Right. Most of our demo wasn't alive for it.
It's like, what's your greatest moment?
I think the greatest moment could still be drafting Patrick Mahomes.
We don't know the end game.
We don't know the end game yet.
It could be.
It's trending that way.
Yeah.
I think hiring Carl Peterson was one of the great moments in franchise history. I still maintain without hiring Carl Peterson, maybe we're looking at a team that ultimately ends up having to leave Kansas City and move. Because not only did Carl Peterson make it a winner again, he made that stadium a place to be and created the atmosphere at Arrowhead Stadium by doing all the tailgating stuff. And you know, you can listen to Carl on my podcast at 610sports.com and the 435 Podcast Network. He talked about how they created that Arrowhead experience. They went and visited every college campus within 500 miles of here and figured out what are people doing. They create that collegiate atmosphere here at Arrowhead to bring the tailgating to Arrowhead, to make the spectacle at Arrowhead that it is. Like, I still to this day don't believe Carl Peterson gets enough credit. I think Carl Peterson essentially saved the franchise, because before he took over, the Royals were winning baseball games. Everybody was going out there. The Chiefs were lucky to get 25,000 at a game on a Sunday afternoon. The NFL wasn't as big. Like, I think Carl Peterson ultimately saved the NFL here in Kansas City because of the way he came in and ran the franchise. I think the hiring of Andy Reid is one of the great moments in franchise history. They could have gone with a coordinator or somebody else. They hired the best possible guy at the right time to change the franchise around. And then they drafted Patrick Mahomes. Like, to me, in my lifetime, those are the three most important and greatest moments in Chiefs history. From when I was born, 1977, to where we are today, those to me, the hiring of Carl Peterson, the hiring of Andy Reid, and the drafting of Patrick Mahomes, those are the three most important and greatest moments in my lifetime for the Kansas City Chiefs.
And it is greatest moments. That's the caveat of this
one.
There are a lot of moments.
Oh, God, yes.
Umpteen moments.
Sure.
But the greatest moments, that's a much shorter list.
It's very short. It's a very short list. And that's why I've got Carl, Andy, and Mahomes on there. Nothing that happened on the field, but without those three moves, we don't see the successes on the field. We don't see this become a bucket list destination place for football fans.
The trading for Joe Montana is up there for me.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a fair one.
When I was younger, I thought, this is it. This is your trade deadline piece.
Right.
This is your, hey, we're joining the big kids table.
Right.
Moment.
There still isn't that signature win on the field, though, in our lifetime.
I know.
In our lifetime, what year were you born?
71.
What year were you born, Ryan?
82.
And I was born in 77. So from 71 to today, there has not been a signature moment on the field for this franchise.
That has been to that level.
To that level. Right. Had they won the AFC Championship game over the Patriots, obviously that would be on there. Yeah. But there hasn't been that signature moment.
Isn't that crazy?
On the field. All of their greatest moments are off the field things.
And I could find some, you know, singular plays that were great moments, but did they ultimately lead to anything? Not really. I think a lot of the moves made were some pretty big moments, but you didn't get there.
Right.
So it's hard to have those great moments without there really being an end result for me.
Correct.
That's what makes it a little bit difficult. I can pick out plays if you want, but they ultimately didn't lead to anything. You win that AFC Championship game, get to that Super Bowl, win multiple titles, do those types of things. Franchise-changing moments.
Yeah. Not on the field yet.
Hasn't been a lot on the field, which is kind of scary. All right, the annual Rite of Summer, the Madden ratings come out, and somebody's mad about it. This time it happens to be Chargers wideout Keenan Allen.
I will not be playing Madden 20, period. All right, number one, my overall is an 89. For sure. My short route running is a 91. My medium route running is an 88. What? Like, my deep route running is a 75. Like, bro, who's making this shit, dog? What? Who did this? Speed's at 87. Like, bro, ain't nobody just running with me step for step like that, bro. Like, come on, dog. It's not that sweet out there, man. Like, what is you thinking? My strength is 69. Like, I'm a little boy. Just not understand it's something I'm not understanding. I'm an 89 on the game, Pro Bowl back 1,000. I don't understand. What's up? Talk to me.
That's a strong little boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So Keenan Allen, you always get one of these every year that has the ultimate, I'm mad at Madden and I'm not playing.
A lot of guys are mad at Madden.
And this year happens to be Keenan Allen. The cool part of the whole entire thing is players care about this.
Yes, they do.
Which is cool.
Yes, they do.
Which is cool. I like that. You care about how a video game thinks of you.
Right.
The Tom Brady video where he had the sprint with smoke behind it.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
That
was really good.
Right.
Really well done.
Keenan Allen didn't do the bench press at the combine, by the way.
Mm.
That's why his rating is low.
Yeah, should have done it there. Would have had a baseline setting to get you rated. But you think it's a good thing that he's mad at.
Oh yeah, because he's focusing on that instead of the season.
So you're
all mad at John Madden.
You're getting your playbook guy here, huh?
That's right. Well, not getting your playbook guy necessarily.
Yes,
don't be worried about Madden.
Absolutely.
Don't be worried about Madden getting your playbook.
No, I didn't say getting your playbook. I just said you're worried about that. Like that's going to
fester. You're
worried
about the wrong things, which aren't your playbook.
Well, you should worry about winning games. And you know, like you don't hear Patrick Mahomes complaining he's not a 99. He's a 97.
What? He's a 97.
Well, but he should be a 99. You don't hear him out here complaining about that. You don't hear Tom Brady out here complaining about it. Like these also ran teams, the Browns and the Chargers. Everybody's darling right now. They worry about stuff that nobody else that are winners worries about. And that's why they'll be 6-10 and 8-8.
I mean, we're worried about Patrick Mahomes throwing a football outside of a stadium.
No, I don't think anybody's. I'm not worried about that. I think it's cool. That's not Colin Cowherd is worried about it. I'm not worried about it. I think it's awesome. Go do you, man.
I don't understand if this is different than the Cowherd take.
It's different because these guys are worried about their Madden rating right now. They're not focused on winning.
See, I'll flip it. He's not wasting time playing Madden this year. He will be in the playbook.
But you know what he is? He's playing Fortnite instead.
He'll be out there working to increase his numbers in order to impress Madden. While not playing Madden, he's going to have a ton of free time.
Right.
And he's going to have a ton of time to get better on the field. So it could backfire
here. We'll
see.
Keenan Allen, again, has more injuries than touchdowns against the Chiefs.
Two injuries, one touchdown.
That's right.
Okay.
It's 2-1 ratio. It's pretty good.
So Keenan Allen, the most vocal about not liking Madden so far. I didn't know this was a thing. We shouldn't be surprised. We've discussed this on the show many times, the stuff you, the consumers, steal from restaurants. Turns out there's a new theft of restaurants. We know there was a big push. There's still, to me, nothing that has been achieved and accomplished with more speed and vigor, maybe ever in our nation, than getting rid of plastic straws.
That's ridiculous.
That was the
so
fastest
ridiculous.
Turnaround I've ever seen.
What things we waste our time with in this country. Plastic straw dismissal is one of them.
From outrage to change and like, if only we could get real stuff done in that amount of time, we'd all be in a better place. But anyway, there's been the big push, right? Get rid of the plastic straws. Nobody likes the paper straws. They suck.
Those are terrible. They fall apart in your mouth.
So now, restaurants are having a problem. In New York City, for instance, they banned single-use plastics, okay? Forcing everybody to think longer term.
So we're banning plastics, but yet we're going to allow everybody to use normal silverware, which in turn is going to cause restaurants to use more water. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to talk about a water shortage because
it's going to come full circle.
That's right.
So
we're going back to plastic because we're not wasting water anymore.
Bars and restaurants have gone to metal straws. Okay, replace the plastic straws.
Give me plastic or give me death.
So they give you a metal straw now. What's happening, though? Everybody's ripping them off.
Stealing the metal straws.
Metal straws are expensive, perhaps $1 a piece or more versus a penny or two for the plastic version.
Of course.
So the replacement costs add up very quickly. People are ripping off all of the metal straws.
They're screwing you.
And walking off of them. So the latest now thing to steal from restaurants is when they don't give you a plastic straw, they give you the metal straw, stainless steel straw, and you're now stealing those.
Stealing it.
Going to have to put those with my ramekin collection.
Correct. Yeah. That's where it's going, right next to the ramekins.
Right next to all my ramekins and fajita platters.
They're just trying to save the environment, people. And now you're ripping off the replacement to the thing that was harming the environment.
Good. Now restaurants will wise up and just go back to the damn plastic
straw. Little three-legged salsa bowls,
too. Those are nice. Those are very nice.
Yeah, a few of those.
Yeah.
So that was called? The three legs also.
I don't know what
it's
burnt.
It's a nice bowl. Yeah,
it is.
And it's on an angle too, yeah. So you can angle your chip in better. You have to deal with a straight arm dip. It's perfect.
I don't know about you too. I don't want to use the metal straw.
I don't want to use somebody else's straw. I mean, we use somebody else's knife and fork and spoon and all that, but for some reason the straw has a different.
I wouldn't even need the straw if I was.
Is it because you're sucking on it?
Yeah, I think like, yeah.
Just, I have a hard time thinking that's fully clean.
So you're fine putting it in your mouth, you just don't want to suck it.
Yeah, I have a problem. I don't know if it's going to get clean.
I don't want to use somebody else's straw. Just give me a damn straw.
I mean, I've seen people get pretty aggressive with a spoon before.
Who woke up in the morning and said, you know what, these straws are killing turtles. We got to get rid of them. Like, how did it happen so fast.
So fast,
one morning we just woke up and people are like swiping all the plastic straws off shelves everywhere and calling you killers if you're using these straws.
I think we knew plastic was bad a while ago.
But like the plastic straw thing, oh my God, to a new level.
I'm just amazed they turned that thing over so fast.
I hope people keep stealing those things though, honestly. Because that'll make people wise up and realize this is stupid.
No, it's really only going to cost the price of food to go up because restaurants are going to have to increase their prices to cover their costs. Really what's going to happen.
It is. Yeah.
How about we just stop using straws? I don't use straws very often at all.
Do you use a straw when you go to a restaurant?
Not at all.
No. For your beer?
No.
When was the last time you ordered something other than a beer at a restaurant?
I ordered a water.
Okay.
With my beer.
Yeah. But I always drink the water out of the straw.
I don't straw. I don't need it.
Pop out of the straw. Only thing's beer. It's the only time you trust yourself to touch the glass.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. My wife's like, I don't know. Those glasses could be dirty. You know?
That's true. They always can.
I mean, you got sensitive teeth. Is that what it is? You can't drink out of the glass?
No, I don't have a problem with it.
Just drink out of the glass. We can solve this whole thing. Stop using straws altogether.
What else are we going to have to stop using? What is next year's crisis going to be?
Aside from the sensitive teeth crowd, I don't understand why we all need straws.
Well, I'm asking you, what is next year's crisis going to be? The spork? No more sporks?
I already think the spork is an inferior version of two things.
Paper napkins? Are we going to get out of the paper napkin business now?
I'd be fine with that if they give me like a nice cloth napkin.
I mean, years
but then they're going to be spending tons of money to wash them
and
do all that stuff.
And people are going to steal the cloth napkins.
Text like called them sissy sticks. Someone said straws are for suckers. That's true.
That is true.
Yeah. Just like 1 hour martinizing. That's a screw job.
I was just surprised yet not surprised that people are ripping these off. Because we learned from our listeners, you will steal anything not tied down at a restaurant.
Oh, I'm not surprised that people are stealing straws. Hell, if my grandmother was still alive, we'd have a set.
How much straw use do you do at home?
At home, none.
I know. So why? You really need to steal that straw to use it at home? You're not using a straw at home.
I know. Like, I never buy bar soap, but every time I go to a hotel, I'm taking all of the bar soap.
Right, and what happens?
I never use it.
You have a ton of bar soap in your little travel bag.
You take everything from the hotels, right?
Not everything, just the things that I think I might use.
When we were on vacation, I took every K-cup in every room that was available.
What a jerk move.
Why? What's the difference if I use it there or if I use...
That's, I guess, fair.
That robe looks good on you, though, Fesco.
Well,
it's good.
Tammy got me my own personalized robe from the Westin.
This half hour, I don't want any more of that.
What?
This half hour, I don't want more of the story. I don't want more of the story.
It says Fesco on it. I'll wear it tomorrow.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound.
You're the worst.
Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
I bet you if you asked Tammy nicely, you would get your own robe from the Westin as well.
Okay. I'll put that in the back of my brain.
Coming up, Ned Yost was having none of it last night. Next.
And Legend Bob is an expert on pudding.
Fesco in the morning.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.